don't fear me, because I know what I want. Please deliver me, that's all part of your soul. It makes you freeze time, staring in at yourself. It's time to step outside onto the path you once made.
Equipment in yet.
It's all right.
Let me just double check how I do that. Yeah, I was just trying to make my budgie shut up, which it isn't very easy. Let's see if this works. Hopefully this works. Right. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that sounds fine.
Okay, cool. Yay, hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm cold because it's fucking freezing here. Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, you can swear.
Okay, I'm just double checking.
And your butt, you can swear too if you want to.
Luckily, he's gone to bed now, but like, if he starts acting up, I'll have to think of something.
I don't mind.
Just let me know if it gets annoying. I'm just going to put my headphones on so that he doesn't hear you, because he might freak out. Hold on. Right. Headphones. Hello? Is this working?
Yeah, it's working.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, now I'm set up. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. Right before I hit the call button, I about took a tumble with my laptop in my hand and a liquor bottle in the other hand.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
To be fair, I've already started on the rum, so it's all right.
Yeah, I got some whiskey, so.
Okay, you're winning.
Yeah, rum doesn't do much to me. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah.
You might just not have the good stuff.
Probably. Everything's watered down here, the beer and everything, so it's probably true.
Oh, no. So everything's going just badly wrong, even the alcohol.
Oh, well, God. The beer's always been watered down here. I don't know if you ever drank much American beer, but it's like water.
Really? Because I think I had like, okay, I can't remember it on the spot, but there was an American beer I had, which had like a devil on it. And it was amazing, and it was really strong. And I kind of thought all American beer was like that. Like, oh. It was just ridiculously strong, and I almost died, and I was very happy.
Now, if you, like, see TV and you see some redneck drinking a bunch of, like, Budweiser or something, you can drink, like, 20 of those, and it won't kill you.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. You would just wet yourself instead, basically.
Yeah, that's what. Another reason why I drink alcohol when I podcast is because it doesn't make me run to the bathroom every 5 minutes.
Oh, right.
So, do you want to start out by introducing yourself and telling people a little bit about you?
Oh, right, okay. Well, hello, everyone. A good morning, a good evening, wherever you are in the world. I'm a Jenny Yulblad. You can call me Jen, it's fine. And I am a comic book creator and an illustrator, and I am working full time in the UK indie scene. So basically, I'm a nobody unless you come to the UK, and you come to a very small section of the UK, then you might know who I am. So, yes, and I do smut and stuff as well.
Smut. How do you like to categorize your art? Do you like people calling it erotica, porn, or?
Well, here's the thing, like, I like calling it porn, but I get into trouble for calling it porn, because obviously the moment you say that anything you do is porn, you get a lot of issues coming up, because porn is seen as something quite different from erotica. But I'm trying to sort of normalize the word porn and make it less, I don't know, scary to people. But yeah, but I do call my work erotica, really, because I just want to be safe legally in case something goes wrong. So yeah, it's very weird because you don't really know where the line is with this. But yeah.
Yeah, like very few things you could call. Well, it's hard here to even call something erotica and get it in a bookstore. Like,
what?
Yeah, like I would say like if you called something erotica and labeled it as that, you'd probably not find it in most libraries now here, and a great deal of bookstores wouldn't carry it, I don't think.
What? Okay, because the thing is, I've heard a lot about if you're trying to print something in America, you have to be very careful because a lot of printers won't touch your work if it's got any sex in it at all. And apparently you have to be careful with how you deal with the money that you make from like erotica as well, because some of it is seen as dirty money. I'm not sure if this is true or anything, but I've just been hearing like mumblings about how it's just really, really bad to deal in any kind of sex stuff.
It is true, though. Like, on the printing side, when I was in college, I worked at printing companies, and they would just reject jobs like crazy. And I know about the porn industry, they have people they're turned down for bank accounts. People making good money are turned down because it's coming from that.
Yeah, that's the dirty money, yeah. Well, what they consider dirty money, which is really ridiculous, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, what can you do? The thing is, in the UK, it used to be kind of all right. I guess internationally, UK is kind of seen as this, you know, slightly kinky place, isn't it? Like, everyone thinks UK is, you know, oh, we go and spank people and we have lots of BDSM stuff, you know, under all these hats and tea drinking stuff.
Yeah, I think it is seen that way a lot in the U.S. because I think we're so repressed here that any of a slight look at, like, porn, even stuff like, if you look at comedies, like, even like Monty Python and stuff, people look at some of that and say, oh man, that's really, like, extreme, and it's like, no, it's not really.
What? Yeah, it's very weird, because it used to be kind of alright, but they've started putting laws in place that are really bizarre, and people who I'm kind of acquaintances with like they're kind of getting scared of doing any kind of stuff that's it is seen as sex work, because it's like you're doing like sex blogs and stuff like that, so it's just literally just writing about sex is deemed sex work, and you can get into trouble for that now. And they got, I mean, you know what, I can actually read out to you the banned unconventional porn in the UK, if you like, if you're curious.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, this is ridiculous, but I think it was in 2014 that the government passed a bill. I might be talking out of my ass now, but they passed a bill that basically banned what they deemed to be obscene acts. So you couldn't produce porn with this, and you couldn't distribute porn with this, I don't think. So for example, public sex, very bad. You can't do anything of that. You can't do any kind of female ejaculation. Guys can, you know, come all over everyone as much as they want. But if a woman squirts, no. We don't know. That might be bad. It might be pee. We don't know what that stuff is. It's scary. And there are like really weird things, like fisting is not allowed. But don't choke on your whiskey. But there is a four-finger rule. So when the so when the UK censors go through porn to make sure that it's, you know, legal, they have the four-finger rule. So as long as you're not, as long as you can see the thumb, it's not fisting. But so four fingers can go in, but the thumb needs to stay outside. If that thumb goes in, it's illegal. It's bad.
I'd be questioning, what if you leave the pinky out?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So what if you leave, like, any other finger out? Is that bad? But it's just so bizarre. And stuff that the UK is known for internationally, like, you know, spanking, whipping, caning, you know, public school stuff that the UK is kind of known for, that is also banned because if it leaves a mark, that's bad. And, you know, any kind of caning that doesn't leave a mark isn't really caning. So it's just, that's just gone. And finally, you can't do anything. You can't do period sex. So you can't show any kind of, you know, menstrual blood. And you can do water sports, Mr. Trump. It's okay. But you don't get to pee on anyone. You have to pee on the floor or maybe on the wall, but you're not allowed to pee on a person. That's illegal.
Well, that's not how you do it.
I know, right? And the final one is that you're allowed to sit on someone's face only if they can breathe. You have to be able to show people that they can breathe. If they can't breathe, it's illegal. So it's like, all of these really weird things that they just thought, no, that's obscene, we can't have that. And now they're trying to kind of put that into the online sphere. Like, they're trying to pass a bill that makes this illegal to view online. And, you know, all porn really nowadays is viewed online. And most people might be going like, oh, well, it's all right. I don't really watch porn. And what does this have to do with comic books? Like, but the thing is, the government body or whatever it's called that takes care of this stuff, they're being really weird about it in the way that they're kind of threatening to turn down sites that just has pictures that shows these images. And there's like a Twitter account called Horse of Yore, which is amazing. And I think that account was shut down and then put up again and then it's had like threats to be shut down. And these are just photos of naked people getting up to, you know, some interesting stuff sometimes. And the problem is that when all this kind of starts going into, oh, it's still pictures, what is a drawn still picture seen as obscene? Like, where's the line here? If I'm selling stuff online that's smut, is that, if it's drawn, is that okay? Or am I breaking the law now? Like, I don't know. So it's really kind of weird over here right now. Well, sorry, I've really rambled on about smut. Like, no, the first thing I did.
That's fine. Like, the laws here are like that. And it's even weirder here because where the United States has the state's laws. So every state can have a different law, basically, about stuff. Like, right. Where I'm from is, I'm from the state of Virginia. I live in Florida right now. But in the state of Virginia, sex toys are illegal.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, no!
Yeah. So you can't have vibrators. So if you sell something, you know what they sell? They sell, like, massagers. That's how people get around
joking.
That. Yeah.
Joking.
So, like, a friend was telling me recently the Walmarts there were selling, for Christmas, they had a bunch of cheap back vibrators. Those things went out so quickly out of that store and so, and you know all these fuckers weren't buying it for massaging their backs.
Of course not. The thing is, like, that is insane to me, the fact that you can't have a sex toy. That's just crazy. Well, I mean, because I follow a lot of American artists and creators who do erotica comics, and one of them is called ojoysextoy.com, I think. And it's literally, I think she's American, and she goes through and just tries loads of sex toys and stuff and then draws about it. So I just thought that was cool and normal. I didn't realize it was illegal in that state.
Yeah, there's some states where it's illegal. I mean, there's still states here where alcohol is illegal in certain days and stuff like that. Like,
you can't serve it.
But the reason why a lot of companies started doing originally like discreet packaging was to try to get around laws like that now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, this is what really gets to me, is that the fact that it's something so innocent, like just having a good time, and it's like consenting adults just doing, you know, having a bit of vibrating fun. It shouldn't be seen as something bad, because literally you're not hurting anyone with it. So to me, that is just absolutely nuts. And I hope it gets sorted, because I think that everyone, which state was it? Virginia?
Yeah.
I hope everyone in Virginia gets to try a sex toy, please. It's so good. Well, I feel so sorry for you if you don't get to try one in your life.
With modern technology, you'll find some way. You'll be like a back rubber or something. Like,
oh, yeah, that's true. Well, the thing is, like, you can get around all of these laws if you really want to. Like, with all these online laws as well, you've got, like, the, what they call VPNs or whatever, so you can just, like, bypass government security and stuff, so you can access your porn online, and you know, there are ways around it, but like, you shouldn't have to.
No,
you really shouldn't have to.
That's what creates the bad black market of stuff. It's because exactly. It's not accepted in stuff. Like, you have, like, and I've talked to friends about this, I have this theory that most of the problems with the world have to do with our repression with sex.
Yes.
Like, because
I agree.
Because if you look at, like, censorship laws, they have to be so broad. Like, even if you look at the scale of, like, when Facebook was trying to say you couldn't have breasts on there. So they started blocking people that had breast cancer and stuff.
Oh, man. Yeah, I remember that.
And they were deleting their accounts. And it's like, when you come to, like, banning stuff from, let's say you want to ban scenes of sex or talk of sex from books, well, are you going to buy ban religious text then? They got plenty
of
sex
exactly. In books.
I read the Song of Solomon in the Bible. You'll have plenty of fun there.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, when they try to remove all this, because obviously a lot of the reasons that people say that they want to ban sex stuff is because, you know, think of the children. Oh, no, the children must not see sex because it's scary and bad. And I get it. Like, when you're a kid, that you shouldn't really be exposed to that because you're a kid. And, you know, There comes a point where you grow up and you become interested in that. And that's cool. But I think that you shouldn't really be putting the kids in, like, this little bubble and then just closing everything out. What I think you need to do is educate them, like, you know, sex education. And there are comic books to have literal, like, sex education in them. So it's so easy to just put sex education, like, in classrooms and even online through, like, web comics and stuff. So I think it's just that people are so terrified of sex that they just don't want to even talk to their kids about it. Like, I remember when I first came to the UK and I was talking to some of my UK friends about how I grew up, because if people haven't noticed, my accent is probably a little bit weird because I'm not British, I'm Swedish, and I've lived in the UK for about 10, 11 years now. Yeah, I grew up in a pretty liberal family, I suspect. So, like, my family would talk about, my mother mainly would talk about sex and stuff. And when I was about, you know, the age of consent or whatever it's called, I was given, like, a condom, and it's like, yeah, go and have fun, you know, explore. Just make sure that, you know, you're protected. And my mum, at one point as well, I remember, she was like, look, if something goes wrong, and for example, if you end up being pregnant and you don't want to be, just, you know, come and talk to me and stuff. So it's all of that. They're very open about it. And they're just saying, like, look, it's totally normal. You can go and have it. Just make sure that you're protected, because there are, like, nasty things out there, you know, STDs and stuff. And to me, that was like, okay, cool. I get it. And obviously, my mum would be inappropriate and talk about what they did when they went out on their caravan holidays and shit like that. And I'd be like, Mom, I don't want to hear about this. I'm like fucking 14 years old. I don't want this. But, like, if you grow up around that kind of chilled out atmosphere, it's not a big deal. Like, and then I hear about some friends who literally their parents wouldn't even talk to the kids about, like, their daughters about what a period is. And they wouldn't, like, even explain what it's like to have, like, your first sex might suck if you're a girl especially. And stuff like that. They never even mentioned it. And I was just like, that can't be healthy, surely.
No.
Or is it?
I also thought, like, the opposite of you a lot of ways, because my parents didn't really say anything about, like, sex, really. And I think that's probably why I've throughout my life, I've had issues with, like, little hang-ups about sexual identity and issues. It's
yeah.
Because of that. Nothing was ever discussed beyond saying, don't let a stranger touch you, and
yeah.
That's about it. It's all we ever got to talk on. And I think when we don't educate the kids, you get in situations like you have with the Christian right here, which is have you ever heard the song by the comedy group Garfinkel and Oates where it's called The Lupo?
No.
Well, you should look it up. Lupo, it's a comedy song. But it's about religious groups here because they teach that only sex between a man and a woman's right. And this is the only way to do it. Kids, being kids, finding a loophole, said, well, then anal sex is not sex, so we can do this.
Oh, God!
It's a loophole they found in a hoe.
Oh, man! But it's, like, if you don't tell them anything, obviously kids are going to explore and, like, you know, try shit out. And especially if you make something into, like, a taboo, a complete, like, no, you don't do that. Obviously kids are going to be like, oh, why? Why am I not allowed to do that? What's wrong with that? Let's go and try it out. I mean, this is the same with alcohol, I think, in a way. When I was about, 12 or so, my dad and, like, the neighbors had some get-together or whatever. I forget what it was. And he had a beer. And I was just like, oh, can I try that? And he was like, yeah, I can have a sip. So I had a sip of his strong lager, whatever it was. And I found it absolutely disgusting. But, like, dad's like, oh, I'm never drinking that kind of shit ever again. Obviously, that's a lie. But, you know, at that point, it wasn't seen as something weird. Like, it was like, that's alcohol, that's a grown-up drink, it tastes like shit, I don't want to touch it. It wasn't like a, no, you must never drink this, it is bad for you. Obviously kids are gonna be like, really, why is it bad? I'm just gonna go have a little sip now. And then they're gonna, like, rebel and go against all the stuff that they think, you know, the adults think is bad, like anal sex and booze.
That leads to more serious issues with, like, there's been outbreaks in really Christian areas where they took sex education of, like, diseases and stuff, because they're not being educated, plus they're doing other things that they don't think is sex, so they don't think they're going to get anything from it. So there's been, like, huge outbreaks. There's areas in, like, Texas here where there's been AIDS outbreaks that are, like
what?
At levels that are, like, in the early 80s, they're going up because they're not teaching these kids anything.
That's just crazy.
Yeah.
That's just absolutely nuts to me. Like, you have to at least have basic education in schools. This is like, oh, man. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think it's just like, you don't really know. I'm just trying to, like, when it comes to sex, you don't really see it in a lot of Western comic books. If we're talking about American comics as well, like the normal mainstream ones. But you see a lot of violence. Like, if I were to go to a comic printer and just print out, I don't know, one of the, like, the horror comic I'm doing right now, which is just, like, blood and gore and stuff, they would be like, oh, cool, here you go, I'm gonna go print this for you, awesome, have a good day. But if I were to take something that involved a woman, I don't know, getting, I'm just trying to think of the latest thing I did for genitals, which is one of my comics I do, a woman getting spit roasted by two devils in a bar, then I would have to, like, go to a printer and be like, are you all right with this? Because, like, this has got to do with a woman. She's having sex with two people at the same time. She's into it, don't worry. And it's drawn pictures, but I have to make sure that I'm allowed to actually print this. Like, is it not weird that violence is like, yeah, go for it. Just chop some heads off and go crazy. But the moment it's anything to do with sex, it's just like, no. Well, we can't be doing that.
Here in the U.S., it like, violence is, like, I don't want to say it's accepted, but it's way more accepted than a sexual. Even, like, in movies, if there's a rape scene in a movie, it doesn't guarantee you an X rating. But if you have a sex scene, a really, like full-on sex scene in a movie, that'll get you an X rating a lot of times.
That's just messed up.
Yeah.
Like, so, if it's like, actual, like, sexual assault, like, if it's rape, then it's fine. But if it's two people consensually having a good time, I don't know, with a sex toy, then it's all bad. I mean, that is just so messed up. Actually, that reminds me. I hope you can't hear my budgie. He's going crazy in the background. I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
but yeah, that reminds me. Like, when I first started up my Patreon, I was looking through their, you know, rules and stuff. And the rules were like, oh, you can put any kind of art on your Patreon. And I was like, yes. And your work can be... it can have nudity and other sexual content in it. And I was like, amazing. And again, Patreon is an American company, so I was surprised. And then after that, it was like, pornography is not allowed on Patreon. And I was like, what? And it's like, yeah, pornography is defined as material designed with the sole intention of eliciting sexual arousal. So at this point, it's like, okay, well, you can't control what a viewer is going to find arousing. Something that I draw, I might find really, really, really hot, and other people might not find that hot at all. But that will be something that I've drawn with the sole intention of eliciting sexual arousal in myself. I've put it online, and it might be completely normal to all other people. So, like, where's the line here? What's porn and what's erotica? Like, it's just so messed up, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I had an artist I commissioned to do for one of my stories. I decided to do these almost like as if this person was real. How would people be parodying him online? And he's like a Superman character type character. But so she did this one in him, and it's like a pinup. Like an old-fashioned pinup, but he doesn't have much clothing on. Well,
cool.
I guess somebody reported this as soon as I put it up and said it was pornography. And next thing I know, from the people who are doing my merchandise stuff, I get an email saying, you got pornography on your site. And I'm like, no, I don't. And they're like, well, this is pornography. And I'm like, he's not naked.
What?
Like, I'm like, it's not pornography. And it's done very tongue-in-cheek and stuff. And it just made me go, and I went from just having a poster of it to putting it on everything I could on the store.
And have you gotten into trouble for it? Like, or are you okay?
No, when I contacted the company, I said, if you want to challenge this as pornography, I'm willing to, like fight this with you. It is not pornography. Nobody's nude in it. I wouldn't even consider it pornography if somebody was nude in it, but nobody's nude in it. You're just going off by one person probably sending you a note, and you're too lazy to check out the stuff to see what's actually on the website, so you just tried to take it down.
Oh, my God.
So I haven't had any problems since then, but have you had any problems like that on any of your websites or anything?
Well, here's the thing. I haven't yet, because I keep on kind of self-censoring, I suppose it's called. Like, for example, I was going to do online comics. What's it called? Oh, God. Digital, when you do digital sales on, like, Comixology and stuff. Whatever it's called. I was going to do that with my comics, because obviously my comics right now are, you can either buy them in paperback or you can read some of them as just web comics. I don't sell them like on Comixology or anything like that. But I put that off because there were some like rules basically saying that if you are selling online goods as a freelancer, you have to do loads of weird steps, and I couldn't afford to do that. There's some really weird European laws. So I stopped doing that. And now with the other UK laws saying, you know, you might be shut down and fined if you have nudity and like drawn pictures of people getting spanked and stuff. You know, I don't want to get in trouble. So I haven't actually put anything out there explicitly properly yet. I am nervous because once genitals is done, genitals is it's kickstarted, like my first comic book, which is like 4 pages of just very short erotic comics where I just explore different things. Literally just 4 pages of smut. And when I make that into a book and I sell it, I don't know if I'm going to dare to sell it online yet, because I might get into trouble with the obscenity laws in the UK if I do. So I don't know. But if I sell it offline, like if I do it as a paperback, I have managed to find a printer who is okay printing it. So that should be fine. But so far, I'm okay. I got one person who I support on Patreon who does she produces porn in the UK. She's called Pandora Blake, and she's already had her site threatened to be taken down, and I think she got fined as well. So like, it's already happening, and I just can't afford to get into trouble. So far, I'm good, but that's only because I'm holding back so much stuff. I don't dare to put it online. Also because I'm honestly scared that if I put some of the smut that I do online, people are going to think that I'm a weirdo and be like, what are you doing? So I'm kind of just holding back and just doing it. You know, I'm putting some things in genitals and see how people react if they like it. It's a bit of an experiment. And, you know, it's a very odd situation, because like if you are your own indie creator, you're very accessible when it comes to criticism and stuff, and I'm pretty terrified of that, especially when it comes to sex stuff. Like if I put out certain kinks that might be seen as unconventional, I'm scared that I'm gonna get people coming at me being like, "What are you doing? You're not a real feminist." Because you have people getting spanked and looking like they're sad, and everyone needs to look happy when they're having sex and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's a mess, really.
Well, I've talked to friends of mine that live in the UK, and they know a lot about my government, too. And they're like, well, at least in the US, we have laws and stuff that says this type of stuff should be protected. Like, we have, like, a Bill of Rights and stuff like that. Well, a lot of countries don't have that. So at least we can challenge stuff by going in a court and saying, well, this says you can't do this. Where other countries don't have that, and that's, I mean, it's bad situation in different countries than here. And people here don't understand how good we actually got it, that we have a ground to fight from.
It's very odd, because it's all very... it's all very floaty, like the entire situation, and because some of the bills that are being put into, you know, to be debated by government and stuff, they're not, like, we don't even know what they're going to mean, because it's so broad. Like, they might mean that the government can collect loads of data on you, because in order for you to even look at porn online, you have to fill in this age verification thing, which means that you have to prove that you're 18, so you have to give the government data, like, you know, your driver's license or your any kind of ID, and suddenly you are on like a little list somewhere as someone who watches BDSM or someone who likes water sports, and yeah, I don't know, it's all becoming a bit too scary for me to put stuff up online just yet. I'm kind of sticking to a lot of the comics and things I do. They contain sex, but they don't contain, you know, explicit crazy sex that you can see for free online. You have to kind of pay to get to that bit.
Yeah.
but like, and also I'm putting stuff up on my Patreon, and I'm making Patreon only content that is like doodles of ladies with their boobs out and stuff. So that should be fine because that's not trying to elicit sexual arousal, I suppose. Yeah, it's just a very, very odd situation all in all, I think, with the whole censorship deal that's going down. It's a very interesting time to be alive, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that old ancient curse, will you live in interesting times, you know? So how long have you been doing this type of artwork? Did you start out doing mainstream type comics and then go into this later?
Well, no. Well, here's the thing. Like, I've always been doing stuff in the indie scene. So even when I was still at university, and I kind of got in contact with people who did comics in the UK then. I was doing stuff just in the indie scene. But I also got a portfolio review that I was going to have with Marvel in London. And I remember this very vividly because I will never forget it. I'm a very poor person, by the way, and I went out of my way to like buy train tickets to London, which is very expensive. And I like printed out loads of what I considered great artwork back then to impress Marvel. And I like got this new portfolio and everything. And I just, you know, I was shitting myself. And then the day before I was about to go there, I get an email saying, sorry, by the way, it's been cancelled because the guy is sick. And I was like, okay, guys, you do realize that there were people coming from all over the UK. And it's UK is tiny, but it costs a lot of money for people in the indie scene to do this. So after that, I was just like, nah, you know what? I am I'm pretty good where I am. I was salty for a while. I've gotten over it now, but totally. But now I just I do mainly things for myself. So I do Skarl, which is my own fantasy comic, which is a web comic that people can read for free, and that's totally supported by my Patreon. And I do Genspiration, which is my own autobiographical doodle thing. Again, webcomic for free, all that stuff. It's got a lot of crude stuff in it, so people, you know, beware. And I also do Viggo Mortis, which is created by Ella McConnell. And that is also a webcomic that's for free out there. And it's like she funds that half through her Patreon and half from her own pocket. So, like, that's pretty amazing to me that she just keeps that going. So she pays me. And I'm also doing, I've also got loads of other, like, little commissions that I can't really talk about because it's for books that aren't published yet and things like that. And I've also started doing Barbarisms, which is a horror comic. I'm co-creating it with my little husband, my boy. And that's also completely with my Patreon. It's loads and loads of comics and commissions that I juggle like on a monthly basis just to keep afloat. Because if you're doing this independently, I think it's pretty hard to land on like a one well-paid gig, especially if you're in the UK scene. Like, the UK scene is very small if you compare to the US. Comics don't pay a lot of money, which I'm sure people are aware of, and it takes a lot of work. So yeah, so really I've got about 5 comics on at the same time, and they're all independent, so it's all self-published or just put online. And I'm living off it, so it's all good. It's just that it's hard yeah. work. Oh my god.
Yeah. If anybody wanted to contact you about any kind of like commission or something, do you have a way for them to contact you?
So the best way really to contact me is through my Twitter, because I'm very active there. It's kind of like my social life, which is bad. Do you want me to spell out my surname? Because I could do that, because basically the way to contact me is just to Google my name and you will find my Twitter, and my email is the same. My website is exactly the same as well. It's all just my name. So because I'm Swedish and I've got a stupid name, I'm really sorry. My actual name is Jenny Julblad, which is Jenny with an IE at the end. And then Julblad is GYLLBLAD. And with that, you will find all of the things I do, because there's no other fucker out there with that with that dumb name. At least I don't have the same name as my mother, which is Gunn, which if you read it, it's Gunn. So her name is literally Gunn. It's very violent.
It's kind of badass, too.
It's kind of badass, yeah.
So, with your, and like, sexual comics and erotica comics are political in their own way, but do you see your comics as having a political slant to them in another way?
God, that's a good question. Like, I do put some subtle things in some of the comics I do. Well, I'm not sure if the latest one I did was very subtle, but in the latest comic I put up for Viggo Mortis, the page, there is literally a person in the background who's wearing a T-shirt that just says "Nazi punks, fuck off." So, like, there are some little things in there that are basically saying, look, I am not okay with what's going on right now in the world, and I think that we should all just be friends, and people who are Nazis can fuck the fuck off. But yeah, in my own erotica and things, I think the main thing is that I try to, I just want people to kind of chill out a bit about stuff. So I just like having ladies or gents, or ladies with ladies, or gents with gents, you know, whatever, everything in between, just getting it on. And I just want people to kind of have a look at all of the different things you can do, and you don't have to be restricted to, like, to what other people say that what is, like, normal, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like, especially now with all these laws that are just trying to be passed in the UK, which just gets on my nerves. Like, you don't have to have a straight relationship with, like, one dude, and you don't have to just have, like, missionary sex and that's it. And if you do, and that's cool, that's absolutely fine. But, like, I just want people to know that it's just fun to try things, and, like, it's not harmful. And especially with the things that I'm sort of experimenting with in genitals. Because originally genitals was supposed to just be like a Kickstarter for 4 pages of a comic about a woman having a wank. That was literally it, just 4 pages. And it just blew up into this big anthology now of loads of short stories that I'm still working on, like a year after this Kickstarter's done, where each little short story sort of explores different kinks and stuff. And I guess I'm just trying to see what I like as well. And in a way, I'm experimenting with kinks and, you know, fetishes through drawing them. And if people can have a look at that and kind of go, huh, you know what? I think I like having sex in the water with a man who is naked and playing the violin, then, you know, if that is something that gets you off and you just discovered that by reading a comic, I think that is brilliant. But in terms of other, like, that's not very political, is it? I'm just trying to say I suppose I'm just trying to sort of say that it's basically, I just wanted to be a bit more relaxed, because I don't think that consensual sex between adults is a bad thing. Like, and I think that the more we make it normalized in, you know, around the world, hopefully, the better, you know, the more chilled out people are going to get about it. And if you just draw pictures, I know this is a tiny thing to do, and it really might not matter that much in the grand scheme of things. But, like, if you're just drawing some pictures of people bouncing on a penis somewhere and seem to be having a good time, that's not bad. Like, it's just fun. And if you can just look at, like, naked people and just sometimes think that it's funny, or think that it's kind of hot, or think that it's, you know, meh, instead of being like scared or repulsed, then that to me is a win. And I think the more we sort of just relax about things, the better things are going to get in general. And plus, I think comics right now provide a lot of escapism, which I feel like people need. I've been trying not to talk about what's going on in the US right now, but I think people kind of need spaces to just have a bit of a breather for a while. And like, if I can provide that with some of my comics, then that's great. If people like what I do, and especially like with some of my artwork as well, if people just look at it and kind of go, okay, that's weird in a nice way, I suppose. That lady has got a spoon up her ass. That's great. That made me not think about Trump for a second. Thank God. Like, if that's what it takes, then I'm happy to provide a service to people.
Well, your artwork is so, like, I mean, it's so beautiful, like, and like, even when I'm, like, looking at a piece of that artwork, I'm like, you can't hate that. I don't give a crap if you hate the, like, content of it. It's just so well done.
Oh, thank you.
I just love your use of colors. It's so good, I think. And,
oh, thanks.
And the design work and stuff is so nice. So, like, but, like, when I think of, like, you were talking about stuff being funny, and it's all right if, like, sexual stuff is funny, too. Like, I tell people all the time, I'm like, porn to me is, like, it's either, I mean, there's bad stuff. Like, you know, I don't really like, torture stuff. Like, I think I'm just, like, turn that off. It's not my thing.
Yeah.
But with me, it's either stimulating or it's funny. One or the other. Because some of it's just funny, I think. And
well, you can just tell. You can just tell sometimes. Like, when people do, like, porn parodies or, like, video games and stuff. And you can just tell that, like, the actresses and the actors are just... You know, they are just taking the piss. They are not taking this seriously at all. And they're just having fun with it. And it's just amazing to sit back and just go, yeah, this is utterly ridiculous. And I just love that, because at the same time, you're like, okay, these people are, you know, having sex, a lot of it. But at the same time, it's really cheesy. And I think that's probably a good thing, to look at sex and be like, you know what? That's really cheesy. I like it.
Yeah. And I think you can appreciate, like, going back to your artwork, like, not a person that's really turned on by erotica that's not, like, film or audio, because I'm a very audio person. But if I look at, like, your artwork, I can appreciate that and say, oh, that's a beautiful picture that has sexual content in it. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people think erotica is only about, like, oh, he's going to go off and wank to that. No, it can be erotica and be nice looking, too, artwork.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Like, obviously, everyone, like, people are turned on by different things. Like, I could go on about that for ages. And some people aren't turned on by nothing, and that's totally cool. But, like, the thing with drawn erotica is that for quite a few people, that is a turn on. And then for a lot of people, that is just a pretty picture that they like. And some people do not get it at all. Like, there are some people who, obviously there are people who think the comic books are just for kids, and this is where it gets really complicated, because, like, there are people who think the comics are just for kids, and if I'm drawing comics that have got explicit sex in them, people who don't understand comics are going to be looking at that and thinking, what the fuck is happening here? What's she doing? We must save our children. But yeah, the thing with drawn erotica is that I think for a lot of people as well, just actually having like a visual thing of something that might be impossible in real life is nice, because some people are turned on by stuff that is literally not possible to do. You can do like novels, and obviously I really like reading erotica. I find that very nice. But like, if you want to do actual porn, like video porn with real people, you can't really do that if you're turned on by someone. If you're turned on by massive dragons, yeah. Fucking cars. If you're turned on by like,
isn't that a book? Where there's a dragon.
I have heard. heard. I have not looked, I promise. I have heard that there is a subreddit about dragons fucking cars, and I'm going to go look at it at some point when I have time. But this is an actual thing, and it might be something that people get into, are into, and that's cool, but that's literally impossible to do in real life. And I think for those people who are into stuff that's, like, a bit out there, I can't remember what it's called right now, but people who get turned on by giant women, like massive women that can just swallow them whole, or just get turned on by, I don't know, that is a classic. And one of my genitals has tentacle porn in it, if people are interested. And, you know, there's loads of that kind of stuff that you just literally can't do in real life. To be fair, I did try once to watch a, real tentacle porn thing, and it was just, that was funny. That was like funny porn. It did not turn me on. It was just like this lady who tried to look like she was aroused while she was surrounded by what looked like vacuum tubes, like, you know, Hoover tubes, and she was just trying to sort of stick them inside of herself and try to look excited. But I was just like, nah, I can tell that both you and me are not, we can't see that this is tentacles. This is really just not, this is not working out. So for that, I think you should probably have a look at some drawn stuff, because with a pencil, you can make anything happen on a page, and it's literally just a drawn picture, so just go nuts. That's what I'm saying.
That's what they say about comics in general. They're an unlimited budget, too.
Like,
you don't have to pay for special effects or anything.
Yeah, definitely. The only thing I'll say as someone who draws other people's scripts sometimes, oh man, when you get a script when they go, oh yes, and I want a massive dragon, and I want them to be destroying a whole city here, and then I want on this should be a double page spread, and I want like 500,000 people screaming for their lives, and it's gonna look great, and everything's on fire, by the way. I'll be like, oh. God damn it. It's going to take forever to do. But yeah, you literally just hand that over to an artist and they'll do it for you for money. Don't work for free, people. Please. Please.
Well, that should get... we'll go into the thing I do sometimes on this, where I ask 5 questions that artists really don't like being asked.
Oh, no!
So, the first question is kind of an easy one, but I know it irritates some artists, is where do you get your ideas?
Right, okay. That's probably going to be a really boring answer. I do apologize in advance. Well, a lot of my visual inspiration nowadays seems to be coming from Twitter, because I follow a lot of artists and people who like retweet amazing art on there that just gets me going. But in terms of story ideas and things, it's the usual. It's life experiences, stuff that's happened to me or stuff that I've seen or heard about, and just things about people. I'm very, very people orientated, and I'm also all about emotions. I'm not sure if people know about this, but I'm very much into emotions. So if there's any story that explores emotions, I'm in, like, immediately, because I can get very emotional myself. But other than that, with genitals, the only thing that would get me ideas is, like, if I read something that sounds a bit weird, I'd be like, okay, I'll give that a shot. I'll see if that works. So it might be something really random that you just see on the internet and you go, people like that? People get off on that? Okay, I'll try it and see if it works for me. So yeah, basically be on the internet all the time and you'll get inspired.
Okay, the second question, and I have a lot of artist friends, so they've all told me they've been asked this one, is how's your hobby going?
Oh, God! Right, well, I assume that what you mean is my drawing. Well, my art is currently my full-time job. Hopefully for a while, unless something goes horribly wrong. So while my art has turned into my job, I kind of need to get a hobby now. So I've got like, there are loads of things I want to do that involve getting away from the computer. Because a lot of the things, like if you work on your own, you might sort of know that you just basically sit in front of a computer like 12 hours straight. So I just want to get into like sculpting or costume making or like face painting or like adorning your face with stuff. Anything that involves making things with your hands. I feel like in order to, this is going to sound really dumb, but it's because I'm slightly drunk. In order to feel like slightly more alive, I just want to make things with my hands and have things that exist in the world. Because sometimes when I put things online and they're on the internet, it doesn't feel real to me because it's on the screen. Does that make sense? Or am I talking absolute shit?
No, I understand what you're saying.
So yeah, so basically what I'm trying to say is like I would like to get some hobbies going where I literally craft things. And it's not for money, it's not for anything like that, it's just me making shit and seeing how it goes. That would be great. And I could be crap at it and no one would pressure me. I would like that, please.
I understand, because right now I'm doing this thing just for fun where I took I collect pro wrestling action figures. So I'm making stop motion.
Like, oh, cool!
Which is taking a long time, but I'm just doing it for fun. And it's not pressure of like showing it to people or sending it to somebody as a submission. I'm just doing it for fun. So I think I needed that. I needed to find something like that.
Yeah, because you just get to switch off from everything else for a little bit. And especially like if you're like me and you just, the reason why some people hire you is because you're around 24/7. And people can reach you like 24/7. It's just nice sometimes to have this little hideaway where you just move away and you just make stuff with stop motion, or you just like sculpt things or whatever. God, we haven't talked about wrestling at all, have we?
We should do it after these questions.
Sorry, I got excited.
No, it's all right. Have you ever been asked or people said to you like, oh, you should work for free, it's good exposure?
Oh God. Yes. This was when I first started out, like after I graduated. I did illustration at university in Bristol in the UK. And just after I graduated, I did have some people who basically said, why don't you do some test art for us? It would be good for exposure. Or why don't you like make this thing for this book? You won't get paid for it, but because you'll be in a printed book that will be sold on shelves, you will have lots of people looking at it. And obviously, being fresh out of university, I was very naive. And I was just like, oh, gosh, people like me. People approach me and they want me to do stuff. Of course I'll do it. So I have to, like, I hate saying it, but I did do work for exposure when I first got out, and it got me nothing. So I'm trying to say, if anyone who might be listening to this is thinking of doing, like, illustration or comics or something, doing work for exposure got me nothing, literally nothing. I got no contacts from it. I literally got no one coming up to me going, I saw you in that book, you were great. Nothing. All of my work has come from people commissioning me, and then word of mouth of people saying, I commissioned her, she did stuff, it was good, and she did it on time. So it takes years to get that kind of reputation. And basically my reputation is, I'm all right at what I do. I do things traditionally, and I will work to a deadline, and that's good. Like, that is all you need, but you need to kind of stick to that and just make sure that you don't flub, that you have to make sure that you're nice to people, is what I'm trying to say. But you also have to make sure that you're nice to yourself. So don't let people use you if they say that they want to be like, oh, yeah, so it's all right. I like your artwork, so obviously you should do it for free. If someone liked your artwork, they would pay you for it. That's all I'm saying.
I could
rant about that for hours.
I tell people this all the time because I used to write a lot of stuff for websites, which a lot of people don't know. A lot of websites don't pay for the writers. Mm-hmm. they say, well, you're getting exposure. Even like big name ones don't pay for writers a lot of times. And
it's ridiculous.
I used to do a lot of stuff, and even recently I've had people be like, oh, will you review comics for us? And I'm like, okay, what are you going to pay? We don't pay. I'm like, well, you going to buy the books? No, we're not going to buy the books. I'm like, then I'm not fucking doing it then. Like, you got it.
You got to be kidding.
Yeah, because I would have to stop what I'm doing, which is my stuff that I own and everything, to do this for you. So why should I do it for free? It's like when people want you to appear at an event or appearance for free, and it's like, why should I uproot what I'm doing to go to an appearance for free? That's like taking time when I could be working on something.
This is the thing. Like, I know that a lot of conventions don't mean it in that way, but I have gotten invitations to conventions where they've been like, we've seen what you've done and we like your work. We would love it if you came to this Comic Con. And I'm like, great, I would love to be a guest at your Comic Con. It would be great. And they're just like, okay, so it costs this much to get here and this is how much the table will cost. And I'm just like, what? So people, you have to realize that, like, if you're about to invite someone to come as a guest, you gotta pay for them, because they haven't got a lot of money. Like, people who work in this industry are not rich, and especially like if you're a writer as well. I've heard some horror stories from people who are like content writers for like games blogs and other things as well, and it's just like, you just get nothing for what you do, and you can be fired at any moment as well. So it's like no job security and you get paid nothing. It's like, fuck. Yeah. So sometimes I just feel better, like, oh god, I shouldn't be complaining, because I know writer friends who literally cannot do writing for a living because it just doesn't pay at all. So
Well, it's even like I've had people tell me, like, well, you said this book sold, let's say a random number, like 100 copies online, and I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, then you made $100. And I'm like, no, because if I'm selling it, if I'm selling it through like a Smashwords thing, they get a percentage of the money before I get it. So even like merchandise on a website like Cafe Press or something, I might get $1 out of a $20 shirt.
That's the thing.
Yeah, and people don't understand that stuff, and they don't understand the other thing of being like, well, then why don't you have your own stuff made? And I'm like, then it'll sit in my room and never sell, and then I'm out of pocket for that, too. Like,
yeah.
Like, they don't understand that stuff, if you can only understand doing it, basically.
Yeah, it's really hard, because on the one hand, you just want to make sure that you get your name out there. And that's really important as well, because if you just sit at home and you don't like get yourself out there in any way, you're not going to get anywhere. But at the same time, you have to make sure that people don't use you on the way. And that's the tricky bit, because I said, I still consider myself quite naive when it comes to people, because I believe that people inherently are very good. And I will believe people. So like if someone says that they have my best interest, you know, in mind, I will believe them. But you have to kind of then start asking the really difficult questions. So you have to sort of make sure that you, before you do any work for anyone, really, you may have to make sure that you've got some kind of contract, even if it's just like an email saying, oh yes, I'm going to be doing this for you, and it's going to cost this much. Just so you have a little email, anything, because then you've got a little binding thing right there. Because at that point, you have to just have some security yourself. That's really important.
Be afraid to say no either.
Exactly. You have to make sure that you say no as well. And people who you want to be associated with will understand. They'll be like, okay, I get it. Yeah, I mean, if you I don't have enough money to hire you at the moment, and that's cool, I totally get it, because I respect you and your skills. Where someone who might not be a great person might be like, ah, how dare you say this to me. So yeah, you get to see people's real colors sometimes as well.
I've had people come to me and say, can you write me an outline for a book? I need you to write an outline, and then I'll take it from there or whatever. I've had that a couple of times. And I'm like, okay. And then I'd say, well, this is much. And they're like, well, they basically say, well, you're not making a ton of money. Why don't you do this for me? And I'm like, yeah, but even if I make 5 cents, it's still more than I'm doing this for free for you.
That's amazing. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, it's really tricky, all of this. Just trying to navigate, how you should do things, because if you're on your own, you have to make sure that you don't fall into the little holes of exposure. Don't do it.
I know after when I was submitting to companies for years and also writing a lot of reviews and stuff for company, and a couple of years ago I just decided to what I called sushi writing, which was basically I'm gonna write and I'm gonna put it out there, even if it's raw. I'm gonna do it because I want to learn from it. So I just threw stuff out there and said, bring it on, tell me how much I suck so I can learn from this, because I didn't think I was learning anything writing, because a lot of these people were only wanting me to write for them because I was doing it for free.
Yeah.
And they weren't.
That's really brave, but to basically just put yourself out there and be like, okay, go on, tell me how much I suck. I'd be like, no, don't tell me. Just if you think I suck, just keep it to yourself.
And now I'm to a point where I focus more. I put out one book a year plus other writing.
Wow.
And I got to that point because I learned over that 4 or 5 year period of just absorbing all the crap and good advice too. People were giving me about what to do and what not to do and what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. I finally got to the point okay, now I feel comfortable taking a year doing stuff, because I didn't used to be comfortable doing it. I'd be like, but I can make 800 things in that time of doing one thing. But now I'm more comfortable doing that. But that comes about from finding out who you are inside as an artist. What was the first thing you ever put online?
Oh my God. Right. Do you mean for money, or do you mean artwork just for fun, or...
Or either one. Did you have a fandom you were into and you put artwork on? Or?
Right, okay. This was way back now, when the internet was in its infancy, and you had the dial-up, that kind of thing in the house. I made, I hope it's still not out there, I made a fan site for Rufus Shinra. I probably just... I probably said his name wrong now, from Final Fantasy VII, because I was really into Final Fantasy VII when I was a kid, and I, as far as I can remember, I drew some horrendous pictures of Rufus, and I put them online, and I was like, yeah, I love him so much, and then I would read fanfics about him and stuff, and it was just horrendous, and then after that, I was on an IRC chat. This is still back in Sweden, by the way. So this is still when I was about 17, I think, maybe 16 or 17 years old. I was on this chat room with people from all over the world. So there was people from the UK and from the US. And the chat room was about anime cat girls. And I may have been drawing... questionable things. I really hope my parents aren't listening to this. I might have been drawing bad chibi cat girl tentacle porn and just awful things, and put it on there. But that's the first stuff I put online, as far as I know. It's just horrendous fan art of a Final Fantasy VII character and tentacle porn of cat girls when I was 17 years old.
I never had any tentacle porn, but I used to do Doctor Who fan fiction all the time.
Oh, cool!
I mean, every so often somebody will find something and they'll send me an email and be like, is this you? And I was like, it was me. It was me.
I never dared to actually write fan fiction. I would read it. And I would be really into it. But I never actually dared to write, because at that point, I think my English was okay. But I just didn't feel confident enough to actually write proper stories. I would draw them. I didn't put this stuff online, by the way. I would draw comics of different questionable things, but I'd never dare to write. And it's only now, actually, that I've started properly writing stuff. I'm still very aware that because this is not my first language, that some of the stuff I do, probably like in Scarl, for example, some of the sentences that I put in there might sound a bit off to people because the way I structure sentences might not be completely right to an English-speaking person. But I just kind of go, look, it's fantasy, guys. They've all got really funny accents, so it's fine. It's fine. Just deal with it for now.
Okay, now we can talk about the subject we were talking about. I'm going to talk about pro wrestling.
Oh, yeah!
So, how'd you get into wrestling?
Oh, my God! Right, okay. So, well, to give you an idea, like, of how relatively new I'm into this, like, I've never seen a live Royal Rumble. I've never seen anything, like, on telly live properly. I think I've seen, like, was it one WrestleMania that I watched live on telly, and that was it? So, like, I've only been into wrestling for about, oh, God, 3 years-ish. Yeah, about 3 years. But like I was introduced, I haven't really said this to anyone, but like I was introduced to wrestling by my now current, my husband. I was introduced to wrestling by him when I was having a really, really bad time. And, wrestling was kind of like the escapism for me. So he would bring over like DVDs of the WWE stuff, and TNA and stuff like that. And he would only show me good stuff. He wouldn't show me any crap. So I was kind of introduced to wrestling with a sort of mixtape, if you know mixtapes. Yeah. That people used to give to each other. Yeah, so in a way, that was kind of the way also. Oh, it's going to sound dumb, but it's because I've had 3 shots of rum, so, like, have mercy. But, like, I feel like that was kind of, like, a really romantic thing that he did, was that, like, when I was having a shit time, he made these mixtapes of wrestling for me, and I was just like, wow, what is this thing I've never seen in my life before? This is incredible. And it was so... It's because wrestling is so stupid. And I mean that in the most lovable way. Like, because we all know that it's, I mean, I'm doing air quotes right now, fake. We all know that it's not like UFC. People are not literally trying to kill each other. But what they do in the ring is still very real. People get injured. It's really dangerous stuff. But, like, it is like a soap opera. It's all about characters. And it's all about putting on a show. And just, like, the stuff that they wear and, yeah, like, imagine someone who had no idea, really, about wrestling just, like, 3 years ago just being introduced to it. And, what, I was 20, I can't think right now, 26, 27? Yeah, 27. So I was just like, what the fuck is this? Okay. These are, like, amazing men, like, dressed in, well, nothing but, like, really... skin tight stuff, showing off everything, and they're all just like getting it on in the ring, and it can be really violent, and or it can be really funny. It can be everything. So yeah, I mean, when I got into it immediately, and I kind of just went like balls deep into it. So I just went into like the Japanese stuff, and we've just watched Wrestle Kingdom 11. I don't know if you're into New Japan wrestling at all, or
I used to watch a lot of New Japan, but now it's harder for me to get a hold of the stuff to watch it.
Right,
so I haven't watched
right.
it in a few years and stuff, but I read about it a lot.
Cool. Like, I mean, it's so different. Like, if you, it's very different from WWE in the way that it's much more sort of hard hitting than WWE in many ways. And it obviously because the culture is very different in Japan, you know, the way the crowd reacts and stuff is very different. And I love that. And then you've got like Lucha Underground, which again is like completely fucking different, which is more like a show.
Yeah,
like
I love Lucha Underground.
Yeah, the first season of Lucha Underground was incredible. It's like flawless. I was so into it. Like, Mil Muertes is just, ah. So, yeah, I have just spent 3 years trying to catch up on what I assume you've been watching since you were a kid, right?
Oh, yeah, literally. I grew up where I was from in the South, which was like a hotbed of wrestling promotions when they used to be like 100 in the U.S., like different.
What?
Yeah, there used to be it used to be a loose connection of promotions until like Vince McMahon and the WWE basically bought out and put a bunch of them out of business, which was didn't like some people hate him for it and stuff, but it was business. Like he bought all the stuff and put them out, but there used to be tons of them. So we would go to wrestling events like all the time. Like I remember going to a small arena and seeing Ric Flair versus Dusty Rhodes one time. And
what? You've seen him live?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And by the way, Dusty Rhodes, for a big freaking guy, moved around that ring so fast. It was like you had no idea. It's like, but yeah.
Oh, that's incredible.
I wrote a thesis when I was in college that pro wrestling was the ultimate form of entertainment because it took stage, it took athletics, and it mixed them together. And I wrote an actual thesis in college for like English on that, like about pro
wrestling. That's awesome.
I've always loved pro wrestling, but you were talking about like the romantic gesture he did for you, which I think it was too. My girlfriend, who we've been dating for like going on 13 years now, the other day she found cheap at a store a Titantron entrance ramp for like WWE figures, and she bought it for me, and I have it put together. If you go on my Instagram, you can see it. Like, it's this big Instagram thing. Yeah. So she knows what to make me smile with too.
Well, that's incredible. Well, the thing is, like, I was going to watch, because I've never seen an actual like live, as in being in the same place as the people live, wrestling show before. I've only watched it on the telly, and I was going to watch Cody Rhodes. He was coming to Bath, where I am, and he was going to come like 2 weeks ago, but sadly I think something happened and he had to cancel all of his UK appearances. I think something, I'm not entirely sure what happened, but it was wasn't good. So sadly, I haven't watched anything properly live yet, and my budgie is currently going mental. I really hope you can't hear him. Can you hear him?
Just faintly. It's okay.
Okay. But yeah, so I mean, I still haven't seen it live. I have no idea if it's better or if it's worse. I don't know.
I think it's better if it's like in a smaller arena. I think in the mega events, like I would never want to go to WrestleMania by the fact that I'd have to be so far away I couldn't even see it. But I went to plenty smaller events. Like we go to NXT events all the time down here because they're based down here near us.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know if you watch much NXT, but their home base of Full Sail is a college that's near where we live.
Oh, you're so lucky. Oh, I'm so jealous right now.
So I've seen them a number of times and seen the guys before they went up and to the WWE. And did you watch the NXT pay-per-view the other night?
No, I haven't watched it, but I do know what happened, which is making me like, because the thing is, I haven't had time to sit down and catch up with NXT, sadly. I used to watch it a lot, but I've recently I just haven't had time to do it. Just before Shinsuke was like brought over to NXT, I remember just sitting there just going, they're going to fuck him up. They're going to fuck him up because like he's such an interesting character that you can't just take him in and then just like redo his character because he would completely lose everything. But they have like, you know, they have dealt with him. They have treated him well, I think. They have they've done well. But considering, I don't want to spoil in case someone, cares. But in case, like, you know, stuff that has happened in this pay-per-view, this latest one, I am really scared for the Royal Rumble. Really scared.
Well, all my podcasts is basically like spoiler alert.
Okay. Well, okay. The fact that he surrendered his belt to Bobby Roode, right?
Yeah.
So obviously that means he's gonna be called up. right?
That's what I'm thinking.
But when? Is it going to be at the Royal Rumble, which is tonight? Oh my god.
Yeah, I'll be watching that tonight. I'd never seen him before until right before he signed, and a friend sent me some videos of his, and I was like, I love this guy. Like, his, like, presence and, like, all the stuff he does with his act before he even gets into the ring is so great.
Yeah, he's like the full package. Like, he's just like a really fucked up Michael Jackson. Like, he's just amazing. And his knees hurt, like, proper. His strong style is strong. You can see that he does really stiff people. So it's like he's very, very, very good. And the fact that his moveset isn't really, like, it's not very showy when you think about it. Like, all he does really is a lot of knees. Like, he just knees people. And still, you're invested because the character is so good. And this is what makes wrestling so good. Like, if you've got a character that works and that engages people, that character could just be doing a fucking knee. Yeah. Like, just knee someone in the stomach. And everyone's like, oh my god, that's amazing. Whereas if you've got a character who just means nothing and has no, like, pull or anything, and he does all these amazing flips, people are just not going to care. Which is just what scares me about the cruiserweight division. Oh my god. Sorry, my budgie is going absolutely bonkers.
It's wanting to talk wrestling too.
Is it all right if I just very quickly, I don't know if it works with this, but is it all right if I very quickly just put him in the bathroom?
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, just give me like literally like a minute, if that. I'm just going to put him in the bathroom because I can hear his... Yeah, he's starting off.
Okay.
Oh, God. He's like, he's so old, this budgie. I don't understand how he's still alive. He's like 11 years old. But yeah, I'll be right back. Give me like a minute.
Okay.
Hold on. Raffles, you crazy. What are you doing? Come here. Good boy.
Remember